All right, welcome to another episode of the Streaking Lawn podcast once again. My name is Pierce, and joining me this week, I've got Caroline with me. Caroline, how are you?
Hey. Yeah, after 1 week hiatus, I am back.
Back to reclaim your throne.
Yeah,
and as Bennett co-host.
Bennett is early on excited about this.
Question, so. You've got your cheering section. We have a very special guest this week, former UVA soccer player and current Charlottesville resident and owner of one of my favorite soccer goals of all time, which we'll get to in a second. Patty Foss is in the house this evening. Patty, how are you?
I'm wonderful. It's great to be here.
Excellent. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to talk who's on the pitch. We've got a season starting for the men Friday, and the women have started a couple games already. They're undefeated in their short 2018 campaign. But I think I want to dive into some questions about you, Patty. I think the fans tuning in want to know, how's it going? How's life post undergrad in the Hook?
Yeah, life post undergrad is awesome. I'm still in Charlottesville, so isn't really a better place to be. They couldn't get rid of me, so I kind of transitioned off the field, and now I'm working in the athletic department, doing some fundraising and development for the Virginia Athletic Foundation. So it's awesome. Treating me pretty well, and always a good time here in Charlottesville.
And how was your coaching experience?
Oh man, my coaching experience was awesome. I took over the women's varsity soccer team at St. Anne's Belfield this spring, and actually some of the coolest kids you could ever hang out with, which is kind of odd to say about a group of high school girls, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. So yeah, that was awesome.
How'd the season finish?
Oddly enough, given my playing background, my team went out in the conference tournament in penalty kicks and in the state tournament in penalty kicks. But we had a good season, finished, I think it was like 11-2-4, and it surely was a fun time, so it was awesome.
No, it sounds very, very successful, but tragic and all wrapped up into one. That is a brutal way to go out. But why don't we jump back into talking about your experience at UVA? If you want to give our listeners, maybe let's start at the beginning. What was it like getting recruited and making your decision to come play at Virginia?
Yeah, sure. I went through the whole recruiting process. I was in boarding school in high school. And so I knew I wanted to stay pretty close to home, from the Northern Virginia area. So, there isn't a better place to play soccer than the ACC. So I looked at a bunch of ACC schools and really narrowed it down to two. And those schools were here in Charlottesville and then one unnamed in College Park. just decided that in the end that this was the place for me. It felt like home it's a tad bit prettier than in College Park. So in hindsight, sounds cliche, but one of the best decisions I ever made, and certainly not a bad place to live, as you can tell. I'm still here.
For sure.
So in the whole process, like, what was it? What's it like being recruited for something? You know, we've talked to people about the footballs and the basketballs of the world, but like in a sport like soccer, how's it work, and what is it like playing for Galinovich? Because as someone from the outside, he seems really intense. He seems like a cool dude. He's really nice. I think I've met him once or twice, but he just seems – he's an intimidating-looking dude. Like, he looks like Jason Statham, let's be honest.
Yeah. It's I guess that's a two questions wrapped into one. The first is that it is different being recruited in a non-revenue sport. Mostly because, probably the biggest change is that they can split scholarships. Mm-hmm. So not only do you get a scholarship offer, but what school is willing to kind of offer you a full ride, mm-hmm. which is something that played heavily into my decision, to come here. The second part of that question, what's it like playing for George? George is definitely an intimidating looking dude. He, you don't make 36 straight tournaments on accident. So he must be doing something right. And you know, I always say, and I really do mean it, one of the things George has done best is surround himself with good people and good soccer coaches. And, you know, I was recruited by Matt Chulis, who's still here, and Mike Bohanek, who has now moved on to Pitt. Mm-hmm. And those are two of the best guys that, you know, I've ever met, let alone worked with on the soccer team. So I think that has been one of George's biggest strengths is the people he's put around him. And certainly his success speaks for itself, but definitely a legend here.
Awesome. And for any of our Hokie listeners that are tuning in, could you describe what it's like to win a national championship?
There's tons of Virginia Tech folks, so tune in every week.
Yeah, we have a big fan base in Blacksburg.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a large contingent down there. But this is an internet podcast. Do they do internet down there?
Good question. We'll send a delegation.
Yeah, that experience was obviously one that's hard to describe. Yeah. And usually, when people have asked me that in the past, I say, not a lot of things will make me bawl on national television, but there is a pretty iconic photo that my brothers mostly send to me all the time of me kind of just letting it flow on national TV. So pretty emotional, something that, you obviously never forget, but something that one of the coolest parts I think about that is that group of guys, kind of goes down in history together, and there are chances for us to relive it, at reunions and anniversaries. That 2014 team was obviously a good team on the field, but a really special group of guys. And that was a pretty cool time.
Awesome. And also, I think I mentioned at the beginning, the play that stands out to me in your career is clearly the free kick against Louisville in the following season. We'll put it up in case you haven't seen it. We'll put it on the blog post, the highlight video. What can you possibly say about it? Like, how does that happen, kicking it from midfield and having to go in? Like, how cool is that?
Very cool. What can I say about it? It was a little windy. I like to think of myself as a pretty honest dude, and an honest dude wouldn't shoot from 75 yards away. There's about a minute left in the game, and I kind of let it try to put it in the box, and the wind took it a little bit, but certainly a pretty cool moment made for an eventful 21st birthday.
Yeah.
It's another one of those moments like the national championship that you'll never forget. Got a little YouTube press off. Got a little SportsCenter action out of it.
So you took the third penalty kick, is that correct, in the championship game?
I actually took the fourth penalty kick.
The fourth? Oh, I got some bad info from stats guy here.
Stat boy. No. Stat boy is just Virginia sports.
I scored the third goal, though. Maybe that was it.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that was it. Yeah, third goal. So you go up in that situation.
Yeah, roll with it.
And if I remember correctly, you guys made the first one and missed the second. Anyway, so what is the mm-hmm. how many penalty kicks did you take over the course of your career? How is that whole – in college, I mean, and how – does that process work when it comes to that situation? Like, do you know well in advance who the penalty kick lineup is? Like, do you talk about it in the second half or when you head into overtime? Like, when do you know that this could be a potential thing that you have to do?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, first, I think it starts to creep into your mind, as you get into that second overtime period, everybody kind of feels it coming. In that particular game against UCLA, I think it started creeping into our mind about 90 seconds into the first half.
There were some cynical responses to the style of play, I think.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Ever in the history of anything. We'll get to that.
Yeah, so that was awesome. big haters guy.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of prep work that goes into it. It's not just an on-the-fly thing. Mm-hmm. We practice PKs a lot that year. We practice PKs. We had a penalty shootout in the Elite Eight against Georgetown, which is always a little bit of an advantage, though I will say that that gives the opportunity for the keeper to do a little film study. Mm-hmm. For myself personally, I always loved PKs for whatever reason. They were just fun to me. I mean, there's a lot of adrenaline, there's a lot of emotions, and you know, in that particular moment, UCLA missed the one right before I went. Mm-hmm. They hit the crossbar, and so the ball came almost all the way back to midfield. And so, there, you know, I always walked up. I enjoyed that moment immensely, and I don't think a lot of nerves played into it. Yeah, yeah. There's a funny video. You know, if you watch the video of me walking up there, I kind of had a smile on my face, a big wad of gum that I'm just chomping on. And I just, for whatever reason, I was able to just kind of soak in the moment and think, man, this is really cool. And in hindsight, it's kind of like, man, that was really cool. But you know what would have really been a bummer is if I would have missed. but it didn't, and a positive ending. So that's solid.
Did you know which way you were going?
Answer with question. Sorry. Yeah, you know, I went the same. I did the same thing, the same run up, the same way almost every time. So yeah, I picked way in advance. Luckily, the keeper moved pretty early on mine, so I kind of just passed to the other side. But yeah, I mean that's a pretty nerve wracking moment, and yeah, pretty cool.
That's awesome. When it comes to, I mean, Pierce kind of touched on it, the plan against UCLA. UCLA was known for their quick forwards and their scoring ability, and the question was, can Virginia stop them from scoring? You guys played defense. I mean, hey, it's Virginia. We do defense. That's just a thing.
Right.
The tweet that I was mentioning is my favorite one, where it's like, I'm sorry, I can't, when he talked about backing the bus up in front of the goal.
Yeah.
For me, it's like, obviously, do what you need to do to win. Like, why would you play into the other team's strengths? Right. How kind of did it add sweetness to the moment to see how salty and bitter the UCLA team and coach were? Is that a weird question? Like, were you just laughing?
Yeah, 100%. No, I don't think that's a weird question. You know, they were talking a lot before the game. Mm-hmm. And they talked a lot after the game. So I think it did make it a little sweeter. There's a certain player on their team who was committed to Virginia, from Virginia to go to UCLA. And they had asked him before the game, you know, why'd you decommit and you know, why UCLA? And he was quoted saying, I decommitted from Virginia and went to UCLA because I wanted to win championships.
Well, damn.
That one definitely was circulated in the group chat the night before the game. But yeah, I mean, we went into that game with a plan, and the plan was to slow them down, mm-hmm. And to frustrate them. And certainly if we had played them straight up and made it, you know, a track meet, we would have lost. Mm-hmm. And so I think we executed pretty well. Well, very well in the defensive end. And if you look back on that game and the chances that were had, you know, they probably had 85% of possession, and we probably had the two best chances in the run of play, which were our only two chances. But that was kind of the game plan the whole time. And aside from, I think, one set piece with that bounce in the box, they really weren't dangerous. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the plan. We watched a lot of film, you know, that that day in between the semis and final was pretty ridiculous. A bunch of guys had to take finals.
So
we woke up early, took a final in the hotel lobby, and then watched film. So, yeah. And that was, I mean, that's another thing that is a little known fact, but you know, guys were taking finals that whole trip. Some guys took Thursday and Saturday. And UCLA, it works on the trimester. So they weren't in exam season.
Damn. But
anyway, I mean, yeah, just a little tidbits.
No, it's cool.
That's, yeah, but behind the scenes and the glamorous life of traveling student athletes, right? I still laugh about that. Sorry, I can't hear you over this big ass trophy. This is small. I told myself I wasn't going to bring up UMBC today, but you guys did beat UMBC in the semifinals to make the finals. Did that Have you thought about, like, it's just a kind of a small.
Are you saying it's their fault?
Yes. Karma came back. Saved up from, and UVA was the number 16 seed, believe it or not, but UMBC wasn't.
Won. Yeah, we were the number 16 seed. UMBC was actually, was not seeded in that tournament. They were kind of a Cinderella. And they had a really quality squad. They frustrated teams and they were very defensive. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up getting the early goal in that game. It finished 1-0. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is kind of funny looking back because so many, you know, after the basketball situation.
Who had the best reaction or the funniest, or the, when you think of the funniest team reaction after winning, who stands out to you and what did they do? Keep it clean. Man,
that's a good question. Yeah, I mean, so that game is on. So put in perspective, that game is on a Sunday at noon in Cary, North Carolina. It's about three and a half hour drive from Charlottesville. We left, went to Outback, and got back to Charlottesville.
Where champions eat.
Yeah, probably around, and George loves Outback. We got back
to around 8,
and most everybody on the team had finals the next day because we had been so behind from traveling. You know, because the lead up to that tournament, every game past the second round we had to travel for. So we got back around 8 on a Sunday, and everybody had finals at like 8 a.m. the next day. So naturally, we just went to sleep, and nothing happened.
Oh yeah, of course.
And everyone passed. They all got hundreds.
Yeah, everyone passed. Everyone studied really hard Sunday night. We definitely studied Irish extra hard. There are some really funny stories and really funny reactions. But that weekend, those kind of memories are ones to keep forever. You referenced Nico's tweet.
Yeah.
He definitely had some zingers off record as well. Once they stop recording, we could definitely talk.
Oh, okay. About. Yeah, we'll have the podcast for the off the record stuff. But I think we can jump into this upcoming season for the Hoos, or this current season for the squads. The ladies have gone 2-0 to start, and I mean, there's always big expectations for both the men and the women UVA, but the women have probably had, you know, a stronger last generation of players, so to speak, you know, in the college ranks. What are you looking for out of them this season? I mean, championship contenders or at least ACC contenders? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, knock on wood, that women's team is in my mind, a College Cup team. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked in depth about playoff runs and upsets and whatnot. So it's hard to say that, you know, a team is a favorite to win a national title or be in a national title game, because at the end of the day, you know, 18-year-old kids playing a single elimination tournament.
Sure.
What could go wrong?
But I mean, you know, that women's team is as deep as I think it's ever been. Mm-hmm. From the back forward, have a very strong core, a very, very strong spine of the team. And the thing that's really surprised me in the first couple of games has been how comfortable their freshman class looks. Mm-hmm. You know, that first game against Colgate, they rested their U20 national team players. So Corey Peterson is one of the best players, was sitting on a red card suspension. So five starters were not playing at all. And mm-hmm. they still went, you know, 18 players deep. And I think that's a big credit to Steve and his staff and the job that they do recruiting. Mm-hmm. But one thing that stood out in both games is really these freshmen that had stepped right on the field and looked comfortable, because it's a hard thing to do. I mean, definitely a contender this year, and in my mind, a College Cup team.
Awesome.
they have, I think I saw the, is it the number 4 ranked class coming in with those first years and then a big transfer. How crucial is that? Because obviously you talked to them being comfortable, but with the success that they've had long-term and making these final games and a couple of these close ones with like Florida State in the championship game and stuff like that. Having a young goalkeeper that has succeeded and then adding some of these transfers and these young players, does that take stress off the upperclassmen? Does that just give him more options with the way he's looking at? What's the biggest benefit right off?
I think it gives you the ability to put a couple different looks on the field. You know, some of the freshmen that are coming in are physically ready to play at the ACC level. Mm-hmm. A couple that stood out in my mind, Sarepka plays right back, Ashwin Sarepka. Mm-hmm. Very, very dynamic, serves a great ball in the wing. They have the two-time Virginia Player of the Year coming in Claire Constant. She of any player on the field, I think, especially in their first game, is a physical presence. She's fast. She's strong. She can play virtually any position on the field. And then up front, they have a freshman, Rebecca Jarrett, and Alexa Spanstra, who are both quality soccer players. So, I mean, those are just 4 of the newcomers coming in, and then you add them to a pretty veteran lineup that they already had. And suddenly you're looking at a team that easily goes 18 or 20 deep, which in a condensed college season can go so far, especially once you get to November, December, when, you know, you have 20 games under your belt in 2 months and the legs are a little heavy.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about Laurel Ivory? She's coming off starting, I think, every game as a first year in goal. I mean, that's a season's worth of experience. She's getting national team play at the U20 and such. How important is it for that team to have, you know, this experienced keeper coming off such good success?
Yeah, I mean, it's hugely important. I think if you look at both the men's and the women's programs at Virginia, there has been a pipeline of good goalkeeping. Mm-hmm. And for Ivory, you know, she graduated high school a full year early. To come in last year, looked composed, looked like, you know, she belonged. And the thing that stands out to her, she's a great shot stopper, and she's great organizationally, but she has really quality feet. Mm-hmm. And so for the way that Steve wants to play, she brings a little bit to even the attacking side, because mm-hmm. you're able to play through her. She's able to hit a longer ball, you know, that's 40 or 50 yards even. And that experience is, you know, she started all 3 games at the U20 World Cup. You know, you can't replicate that. And so for a young goalkeeper who age wise would be a true freshman this mm-hmm. year, mm-hmm. She really already has a veteran presence. And that shows, you know, she's comfortable. She knows herself and she's able to kind of lead the team from that spot. Also helps that I think in front of her, you know, at center back and Phoebe McLaren, you have probably mm-hmm. one of the top 3 center backs in the country. She's just so athletic. And so between those two, you do have a lot of leadership across that back line.
Awesome.
One of the players that I'm really excited to see more of is Taryn Torres. She's a second year who earned, you know, all rookie stuff ACC last year, I think 3rd team all ACC. What do you like about her game and what does she bring to the team?
Yeah, Torres is a very skillful player. She's got good pace. She's quick off her first touch. In fact, yesterday she had a really cheeky little finish for that first goal. Mm-hmm. But again, another player that brings experience at the international levels, has played under the bright lights, and is capable of turning a game on its head. You know, when you think about the college game, especially. So many times you see games decided by one individual moment of brilliance, and Torres is one of those players that isn't afraid to run at someone and certainly can strike a ball even from distance. So she's fun to watch. And I think what you'll see this year is Spanstra brings a lot of the same to the table that Taryn Torres does. And so if you have both them playing on either wing, it can be a pretty dynamic front line.
Yeah.
we've talked a little bit about the star power that this team has had over the past couple seasons, three, four, five seasons. Morgan Brian, you've got, you know, a handful of players on the national team, I think three starters in the last lineup. How do you see the dynamics in the ACC having shifted at all? Like, we know that UNC has been like a heavy hitter and a power, and they're still a great team, obviously. Do you think Virginia's kind of climbed their way up there when it comes to like the powerhouse of the ACC, and what does that do for recruiting?
Yeah, I mean, you're right that UNC historically has, you know, UNC women's soccer may be the most historic program of any collegiate program in any sport. Florida State certainly has been very, very good, especially in the last decade. But from a player development and personnel standpoint, you're right. Virginia has been as good as any in the last 5 or 7 years. And you're seeing that with, you know, with players like Morgan Brian, Emily Sonnet, even Danny Colaprico. Those kind of players are flourishing as pros. And I think that says a lot about, you know, Coach Swanson and the job that he does with his staff to develop players and not just put a quality product on the field to get results, but also developing players from maybe, you know, an 18-year-old high school player, you know, to a 22-year-old pro. And I think that portion of it helps recruiting tremendously. You know, Steve has a pedigree of coaching at the senior national team level, you know, at the junior national team level, and players and recruits know what they're getting in him and his staff. So for recruiting, you know, who would you rather play for than Steve Swanson? Probably no one. So I think we're seeing that with, you know, especially this year's team. I mean, they, you know, in my opinion, they go 20 deep, and that doesn't happen, you know, by accident. And it doesn't, you know, there aren't 20 scholarships. So kids are giving something up to come to Virginia to play women's soccer, and I think that's a huge credit to him and his staff.
Awesome. Well, why don't we chat about the men's team a little bit too? This maybe compared to the women's, the star power is gone from a lot of the men's roster. A lot of those top guys either graduated or are playing in the MLS or left early to pursue pro. What are you seeing as they are about to start their season on Friday? What do you expect from them?
Yeah, I mean, unlike the women's team, the men's team is largely unproven from the back up. And, you know, I think looking at them in their first couple exhibitions, they have some freshmen that are coming in who are talented, very talented. But you're right. They dropped a lot of the core of that team over the past 3 years, you know, is gone. And so a lot of question marks, you know, they, Joe Bell, Robin Afamafuna, those are really going to be the leaders of this team. And it'll be interesting to watch and see how fast they can gel and find their roles, because, you know, one of the problems that you run into, especially in collegiate soccer, is if you have a young team, you're going to have some egos, and how quickly can you guys figure out, you know, whose role is what?
Yeah.
So I think that'll be a big thing for this team. You know, they have a lot of unproven players on the field, but a lot of talented players. So they have a lot of capability, but it'll be interesting to see how fast they can gel.
Absolutely. And Joe Bell was probably, the best freshman last year, one of them at least on the team. He made ACC all freshman. I mean, he seems as a midfielder, a dynamic guy that is really ready to be that, you know, face of the team. Do you see that capability in him as a player specifically?
Yeah, I think Joe is a very talented young man. I mean, he is capable of changing a game. You know, he doesn't have lightning pace, but his technical ability is off the chart. He has that international experience that we were, you know, talking about on the women's side. Mm-hmm. Joe has that on the men's side, in that he just captaining the U20 national team for New Zealand. And, and he is definitely capable of kind of bossing the team from that midfield. Question is going to be, you know, can he create, and who's he going to create with? Because he's not the kind of player that's going to run at a back line, you know, and make a crazy individual effort and score.
Yeah.
He wants to be kind of that maestro in the midfield. And, you know, a lot of the proven goal scoring threats around him have moved on. So how quickly can those freshmen and newcomers mesh with a player like that?
Outside of the team being unproven a little bit on the younger side, what would you say your biggest concern is with this year's squad?
I think my biggest concern is the same concern that this team has faced probably for the last, you know, 5 or 7 years, and that's who's going to score the goals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you have to go back to before my time as a player, to probably Will Bates, who was the last real true goal scorer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bates is a guy who just had a nose for the goal and could score goals in bunches. And you really haven't seen that for probably, you know, 6-7 years now. That's my concern for this team too. There's a freshman who's a big body, very physically imposing, in Daryl Dike.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma Player of the Year, definitely is capable of showing some special moments. But you know, Oklahoma high school soccer is not ACC soccer, and so how fast can he acclimate to the speed of play and start to score? I think one of the biggest things for him is going to be how fast can he get his first goal and how fast can he get his second goal? Because once he can hit his stride and build a little confidence, I think he's capable of scoring. But to answer your question, Caroline, I'm concerned about who's going to be the goal scorer for this team, because I think they're pretty quality across the back line. I just, you know, I'm just not sure where the goals are going to come from.
And in the ACC, it looks like UNC might be the favorite from some of the preseason stuff I was looking at for them. I mean, they're picked by the media to be ahead of UVA and the Coastal. Do you see UNC as the class of the conference?
Yeah, I mean, UNC is always has a strong team. This year is going to be no different. I think what you're seeing, what you'll see this year from ACC soccer as a whole, is a lot of teams like Virginia in that there's a lot of talent from the conference that's moved on, not just, you know, in Charlottesville. So a lot of unproven teams. So I think there'll be a lot of parity, but that's good, you know, and there are programs like Pitt, for instance, who, you know, 3-4 years ago would have been a program that maybe Virginia rests a bunch of starters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pitt's a real player now. And so I think it's really an any given day conference, and it could be fun to watch. You know, UNC is picked by the media as a favorite, but there's going to be a lot of parity this year, I think.
Thanks.
And you know, whenever this actually goes live, I don't know what last night would end up being, but the men had their final scrimmage. And one of the people that was in the stands and posting video was new athletic director, Carla Williams. What has it been like working with Dr. Williams so far, and what's your take on her?
Yeah, Carla's, she's come in, she has a plan. She's not afraid to enact that plan. She certainly is a pretty impressive person to be around. And her story is a cool one. You know, she is a student athlete herself. She's been a coach. She's seen collegiate athletics from a lot of different perspectives. And I think she brings a fresh face to the athletic department. And, you know, for me as transitioning into, a young professional in this field, it's been really cool to watch her in her first, you know, 7-8 months here. And see how she leads, because you know she has a different style than Craig did, and Craig, you know, certainly was as good an athletic director as anybody could hope for. But with a fresh face comes a fresh set of ideas, and I think
sure
the ideas that she has and what she's trying to do here are some pretty exciting ones. So it's been awesome. You know, it's been really really fun to see. See what the future of Virginia athletics look like and continue to learn from someone who as bright as her.
Nice.
So there's a lot of younger alumni who aren't necessarily ready to donate to VAF or don't live near Charlottesville, so they can't go to games and like support via buying tickets and that sort of stuff. Yeah. What is your recommendation for people that would like to support or give back to the soccer teams?
Yeah, I mean, number 1A would be stay engaged. Mm-hmm. You know, anybody who's going to listen to a podcast like this is already engaged. So pay attention, you know, pay attention to what's going on and think maybe deeper than what the scoreline is of that given day. You know, there's at least for me, coming off the field and into the background a little bit, there's a lot more that goes into collegiate athletics than I could have ever imagined, you know, and I lived and breathed it every day. So stay engaged, see what's going on, read up about, you know, what's happening, because, you know, UVA athletics is about to go into a huge transitional time, in that, you know, we're taking University Hall down. Yeah. We're looking to build a football command center, an Olympic sports building. So pretty exciting time, but also one for alums and fans that we got to stay engaged and have support of everybody. And you're right, for some people that doesn't mean cutting a check, but that doesn't mean that you can't be a part of it. And I'm not cutting big checks myself now. So, you know, any donation is better than no donation. And quite frankly, we need those. So my advice to a young alum would be pay attention and keep hating Tech.
Good stuff. Well, I know we both, Caroline and I, have some rapid fire questions for you. If you're ready, this is how we usually close it out with guests. And I've got a couple that I want to get to before Caroline. I know she's
stepping on my turf.
I mean, you're the veteran, but there's some stuff I got to know. So what professional clubs do you support?
Arsenal,
classic American soccer fan.
Whoa!
Hey, man, sorry,
I'm a Spurs fan, so I you know, that's
my classic American.
And are the who's on the other football gonna make a bowl game?
7 wins.
All right, is one of those against the Hokies?
Absolutely.
That is bold, but we like bold predictions here on the podcast.
I'm trying to figure out right now if I'm going to be in Blacksburg for that game or I'm going to Atlantis, but we'll see what happens.
Go to Atlantis. sorry.
It's your turn. Let's get to it.
Okay, we're going to start easy just to warm you up a little bit. Coke or Pepsi? Uh-huh.
Coke, absolutely. Thank
you. I would have like deleted the whole.
Easiest question in the world.
Yeah. Okay. Boylan or Trinity?
Oof. There's a toughie. It's going to depend on time of day and probably Boylan though.
Okay. Good choice. Good choice. Old dorms or new dorms?
Old.
O'Hill or Newcomb?
It's like choosing between Duke and Tech. Newcomb.
Well, it's like you read my sheet, because literally the next question is Duke or Tech. Which one do you hate more?
Man, that is tough. Probably Tech. I mean, yeah, probably Tech.
Coolest athlete you met at school that wasn't you?
Emily Sonnet.
Oh, nice. Okay. Nice. Is there a story that goes along with that, why she's so cool? What makes her the coolest?
So the summer between my freshman and sophomore years, I lived in Emily Sonnet, Mackenzie Doniak's family room. Like behind their couch, we put my mattress. And she... there was two, Kayla Sears, who's a volleyball player, and Manon Floor, also a volleyball player. I was just in the family room. They were still living there. And they called it Patty's Playpen. Emily Sonnet, if you ever get the chance to interview Emily Sonnet or have her on this podcast, she's absolutely probably the funniest person you're going to talk to. But also, you know, a world-class athlete, and an overall cool person. So Emily Sonnet, coolest athlete I met you. Yeah.
If you could play for another UVA coach, who would you play for? Or if you want to play another
Joanna Harden.
Oh, nice.
Gotcha.
All right. Go yep. to Bodo's order.
Go to Bodo's order. I was always a sausage, egg, and American on everything guy. And now Bodo's has introduced the deli egg.
Yeah.
So I started to go there, but I would still probably say sausage, egg, and American on everything. It's like they chop up like all the meats and they cook it with the egg. So it's kind of like an omelet on a bagel.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty, I mean, I'm not going to say it's a game changer, but it's not a game changer.
Magnificent. All right, that's it. You escaped. That was good. Those were good answers.
All right.
We'll let you pass.
All right, well, we'll close things up there. Patty, thanks again. We very much appreciate your time and your insights. And, yeah, just thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's been awesome. I appreciate you guys having me on. B-Tech.
Yeah, and for those listening, again, the men open up Friday. I believe the women's next game is Thursday on the road. So stay tuned to streakingthelawn.com for coverage in that. And until the next episode, go Hoos!